In case you didn't know, you were just singing a paraphrase of Psalm 90. And Jeff, isn't that Isaac Watts? Yeah. Isaac Watts, one of the greatest hymn writers in history. There's one verse of that that's been modernized, and I'm sorry I didn't, if I had, well, I would have made a little correction in the slide. There's one phrase in that hymn that's been modernized, and not in a good way. Remember, we just sang, "Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its years away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day." Originally, "Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away." You and me. They fly forgotten as a dream. The 90th Psalm, the great theme of the 90th Psalm is the brevity of human life. And the universal mortality that we share. And if that sounds morbid, don't get too discouraged, because it's actually good news. Because death is a defeated enemy, but I better stop preaching right now before I read the text. The 90th Psalm is a little bit long, but I'm going to read the whole thing. This is the only psalm in the book of Psalms. It's the only one out of 150 that is attributed to Moses. And the title is "A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God." Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I like to read about the great cathedrals of Europe. I've never seen a one of them that's on the bucket list. But the Cathedral of Milan. Now, once again, I've never been there to see it. I've seen pictures of it. And by the way, the Cathedral of Milan, construction was begun in... The construction took 600 years. The construction was begun in the 1300s and completed in 1965. So you think it's taken us a long time to get a church building. We ain't seen nothing, okay? Anyway, the Cathedral of Milan, there are five entrance doors, and three of them, kind of on the central steps that come up, one big main entrance door and then two smaller doors on either side. And inscribed on the arch over the door on the right-hand side, it says in Latin, "All that pleases is for a moment." And then on the other side of the main door, the left door has an arch, and it says, all that which troubles is for a moment. So one says, all that which pleases is for a moment. And by the way, right underneath that is a carving of a wreath of roses. All that pleases is for a moment. Roses are beautiful and temporary. And then on the other side, all that troubles is for a moment. And below that, a cross. All suffering is but for a moment. But over the main door, the central door, over the arch, it is inscribed, "That only is important which is eternal." All three of those inscriptions touch on themes of Psalm 90. God alone is eternal. God alone is permanent. He is our only secure home. That's what verse 1 means when it says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations." It could also be translated, "Lord, you have been our refuge. You have been our safe home in all generations." Every home you've ever lived in, no matter how nice, is temporary. And someday you're not going to live in it. There's only one forever home, and that's in God. Everything other than God is momentary, ephemeral, passing away. Now that's the good news of Psalm 90. Now for the bad news in Psalm 90, without which the good news would not be good. The bad news in Psalm 90 is, you've heard the expression, life is hard and then you die. Now that's a little bit blunt, but that's the essential message of Psalm 90. Life is hard. It's filled with pain and struggle and disappointment. It inevitably ends in death, and we deserve it. It's our fault. And most people never pass through that doorway. Think of that symbolic central doorway. Only God is eternal. Most people never go through that door and find their eternal home. Not because they can't, but because they won't. Stubborn sin keeps them out. Look at verses 8 through 10. Let me read them for you again. "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins. By the way, there are no secret sins with God. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. I think in the modern world we might add 10 years to that. Maybe the years of our lives are 80, and maybe by reason of strength, 90. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, and that's Paul's abbreviated form of Psalm 90. Paul got right to the point. The struggles and disappointments of life and the grimness of death, they are visible manifestations of a deep truth that because of our sin, even we who belong to God, we live out our lives under God's wrath. Now, I'll bet you've been trained to think, and I was too, I'll bet you've been trained to think that the wrath of God is a bad thing. It's not. It's a gift. It's a precious gift. Remember in the early chapters of Genesis when Adam and Eve sin and God drives them out of the garden. And by the way, did you know that's the first automobile in the Bible? The Lord in his fury drove Adam and Eve from the garden. But anyway, and Genesis tells us that after Adam and Eve had to leave the garden, God placed an angel with a flaming sword to guard the entrance to the garden so that they would not be able to get back in and eat from the tree of life and live forever. Now that sounds like a horrible punishment. It's actually a gift. God was saying, I will not let your rebellion against me go on forever. I'm putting a limit on you to make you think of me, to make you consider me, to force you to consider the one who created you. For sinners like you and me, death is a gift. Our mortality, Psalm 90 says our mortality is a gift that drives us into the arms of our Maker, our Savior, the only one who can give the gift of eternal life. Once again, we've been trained to think that the wrath of God is a bad thing. And in fact, many liberal Christians will tell you that, well, we've outgrown the idea of God's wrath. We've moved past that. And we know now that God is a God of love. Well, God is a God of love, and his wrath is a function of his love. Wrath is a part of his mercy meant to lead us to repentance. Now, let me explain. Why is everything human temporary? Why do our best accomplishments inevitably come apart and corrode and break down? My dad had a saying that he used all the time. He would say, a white painted fence post doesn't stay white long. Now, by that, he meant nothing endures. Everything wears out. Nothing lasts, nothing human anyway. Why is every human being temporary? because of the wrath of God. God in his mercy will not allow us to be satisfied fully with anything other than himself. And that's why Romans 6:23 begins, "The wages of sin is death," but it goes on, "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Psalm 90 is the prayer of a man who knows this. Moses knows this truth. Listen to verse 11. "Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?" Brothers and sisters, pray, ask God to be ever more deeply convicted of the seriousness and the wickedness of your sin. Never treat sin lightly. It's a violation of the heart of God, the one who made us. Pray that God will put your sin before you and show you the seriousness, the wickedness, because it's only then that we really begin to have gratitude for a Savior that God sent into the world to bear our sin on the cross for us. Verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, teach us, Lord, that this journey in life is going to come to an end. And wisdom comes from knowing that. Now, there's something in us, and I think particularly the modern world is in denial of the reality of death. But, well, maybe we always have been. In the 16th century in England, Elizabeth I, not Elizabeth II, who's queen today, but Elizabeth I back in the 1500s, 16th century, Elizabeth was the Queen of England, and she invited an Anglican bishop named Anthony Rudd to come and preach to her in her royal palace. And Anthony Rudd at that time was a rising star in the Anglican Church. He was on track to be appointed by the Queen as Archbishop of Canterbury, which, as you know, is the top position in the Church of England. Well, Anthony Rudd had never preached for the Queen before, and he was told by someone else, "The Queen really likes blunt sermons, and she doesn't like messing around. Just tell her the blunt truth." Okay. And he preached on Psalm 90. And he particularly focused on that verse, "Teach us to number our days and so gain a heart of wisdom." And he was very explicit with the Queen about her advancing age. She was 63 at the time. He was very explicit with her that she was on the verge of old age and that this was a solemn warning for her. And he completed his sermon. He went home. He was never invited to preach for the Queen again, and he did not become Archbishop of Canterbury. We don't like to hear that, do we? But Psalm 90 tells us we can be sober and realistic about our mortality. Earlier generations of Christians were more willing than ours to face the reality of death. And by the way, it's traditional to read Psalm 90 in tandem with 1 Corinthians 15, which we just did today. 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Death is a defeated enemy. Well, let me read it for you again. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 90 challenges us to consider our mortality and also to pray for the next generations. One of the most important things that people with a little gray on the little snow on the roof, one of the most important things that we can do, and I count myself in the, I number myself with you, one of the most important things we can do is pray for the next generation of Christians. Pray for our children. Pray for the children of our community that they come to know Christ, that they become a part of His church. Listen to verse 16. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glory and your glorious power to their children. What do you pray for the next generation? For what do you pray for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren? Do you hope that they'll make a lot of money? That they'll achieve worldly success? How about this? That they see the glory of God. That they come to know Christ and are grafted into the life of His church. Here's a truth from Psalm 90. All of our lives will come to an end. And the only things that are going to endure, the only things we've done that will endure is that which is done for the glory of God. The psalm ends, establish the work of our hands. In fact, it's repeated twice. Establish the work of our hands. Do you know what that means? God, let me, the work of my hands, things that I accomplish in life. God, let my accomplishments endure. God, let my accomplishments give glory to you. Now, seeing the inevitability of death, some people despair of their lives and think that their work has had no meaning. Psalm 90 offers a better response. Without God, nothing endures, but with God, a life lived for Him is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58, once again. Therefore, because death is defeated, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You catch that? That's the same as establish the work of our hands. Paul says, in the Lord your labor, what you've done for Christ, is not going to be wasted. It's not in vain. All of our accomplishments for our glory will be forgotten. Only what is done for God's glory will endure. Let's pray together. God, we pray along with the psalmist, establish the work of our hands. May we be a part of building something that will endure for your glory. Lord, if it be your will that this church endure for your glory, we ask that. We ask, establish the work of our hands as we go about the work of this church and as we all take our part in serving the life of this church. Lord, we pray that this church will outlast every person in this room. Establish the work of our hands. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.